Welcome to the Single to Soulmate podcast. My name is Tanya Alberti, and I am a soulmate manifestation expert, relationship coach, and spiritual guide and mentor. My sole purpose in life is to help you ditch the dating bullshit and finally call in your sacred union. So if you are ready to be done, I mean really done, you are over it, you are done having your heart broken time after time again, then you have come to the right place, my friend. My goal with this podcast is to help you step into an awareness that not only are you a perfect divine soul, wholly worthy of your heart's desires, but that you 100% create your own reality. You absolutely can manifest a one-of-a-kind love. Think of our weekly time together as your go-to for tools, spiritual growth, relationship advice, and manifesting magic. I'm here to give you the tips, the strategies, the insight, and the teachings that you need in order to truly embrace your worth and manifest that mind-blowing connection with the partner of your dreams. Your perfect person is out there waiting for you, I promise. Thank you so much for listening in, and let's get started. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Single to Soulmate. My name is Tanya Alberti. For those of you who are not familiar with me, thank you for being here. I am grateful that you are back, that you found your way here. Today, I have an amazing, beautiful soul with me. Her name is Melissa. Is it Meja? Meja? How do you say your last name?
Meja.
I am clearly white girl, no Latin in me at all. Okay. So sorry, I butchered your name. Melissa's way easier to say. But Melissa is this beautiful, beautiful soul who is a body and reclamation activator and expander. Her world is amazing. You will be supported. You'll be ignited. You'll be elevated, expanded, activated, and deeply, deeply loved. And she shares daily what you can start being and embodying to really cultivate and honor that the most, what she calls the adorada relationship with yourself and body and all your potency and power. And we'll be talking about what that is and what that means. So if you want to go play and tap into your own adorada woman energy through Melissa's work, I will list at the bottom all of the ways you can reach out to her. I know she has a Facebook group, her website and everything is amazing, her Instagram. So I will give you all her contact information afterwards where you can find her, but she is awesome. So let me welcome Melissa. Hi.
Hi, beautiful. Thank you so much for that incredible intro.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I butchered your name. Yeah. I'm so glad to have you here. We've been talking about this for a little bit. And
yes.
I love your energy. I love what you put out in your content. Everything is so just, because I read energy really well and everything is just so authentic and so empowered and so much you can just feel the presence that it's not BS. You know, there's so many people out there that are like, be yourself, love yourself, da, 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 da. But when you say it, you put yourself out there. I mean, you know that that is how you feel and how you've embodied this for yourself. It's amazing. And I love it. So I would love to hear all about what does adorada mean and where did you come with that? Because I think a lot of people are like, huh, what does that mean?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. First, I would love to just say thank you for having me. But apart from that, this all actually goes into a story and it goes into tied into who I was and who I am right now and who I'm becoming, right? So when you follow me and you see my journey, especially in social, it's a very open, vulnerable, very courageous moves that I've made and action that I have taken for myself because I want to show others what's possible on the other side, right? So if we start even from the beginning, how my life was when I was younger, I actually went through a lot of hardships in my childhood. They were many, many traumatic experiences that I went through that really set me up to have a very low self-esteem, worse type of feeling towards myself. And that's what happened. And that's what my story was for many, many years. There were so much of instances that I felt like I wasn't seen, right? And I wasn't even seen by me. I didn't even know who I was. And I went through all of this during my childhood. And that's when a lot of my people pleasing, a lot of my surface, you know, like love for myself, it became hatred. It became hatred towards me. And I showed myself all of that through numbing, through food, through numbing, through my workouts, through numbing, through, you know, shaming myself even, right? So a lot of that went towards my life for many years in my childhood and my teenage years and everything. And it was a battle that I was battling alone. I did not speak of this as much. I did not touch upon this because I had so many walls up after such a traumatic time in my childhood. So with this, it became a time where I really hyper, you know, like I became very hyper intense towards my body. And that's where I began really shaming, really putting myself down, really, you know, going, I remember these moments, like even just closing my eyes right now, I remember these moments of just looking at myself in like in the mirror and just seeing my reflection and not even liking who I was. And I was like, if I can fix this, if I can become a model size, if I can be this size, if I can be, you know, this amount of measurements in my waist and in my thighs, like this is how I'm going to love myself. This is how I'm going to find confidence. This is how I'm going to love me. And this is how others are going to love me too. Because, you know, for so many years, I went through so much that I couldn't possibly think that I could be loved the way I was because of what was shown to me, right? But as the time goes by and the years go by, and I went through so many hardships and so many difficult moments through, again, being really restrictive with my food, really focusing on that, I actually found a light. I found myself within that. So even through the hard times of the moments that I had, I was able to actually finally kind of focus on me a little bit. And that was through my workout. So even though it was through a very difficult time and a time where there was a lot of darkness and a lot of time where I didn't know who I was, I didn't know who I was becoming, I actually also found me. So it was like a moment of like, you know, having both, the duality of both. So not knowing who I was, but yet at the same time was finding myself. So I found myself through exercising. I found myself through workouts, and I began to love myself during my workouts, right? So I began to only love myself during that time. When I was outside of the gym, I couldn't possibly look at myself. I again began to hyper, just, you know, be very focused on what food I was having. And this was something that was going on every single day, 24/7 in my mind. And I went through a lot of eating of, I guess you guess, like there were a lot of eating disorder tendencies. So it wasn't just that I went to a doctor, because again, this was something that I was battling on my own. Like I did not go out and seek help. Like I definitely feel like I would have gone to, you know, like hospitals, all these things. It didn't go through that route, but it was a battle that I was having alone. So there was a lot of tendencies that I had, and they were very restrictive, and they were very, there was like, it just, that more that I talk about it, it just reminds me, and going back to it, it was such a hard time for me. But that actually put me where I am now, and how I can speak to women now in their heart and their world, right? So this is how it really began. It began by having this battle that I was going with myself and it with my body, with who I was within me. And after years of going through this, I began to find myself through the workouts, and I actually became a personal trainer. And after that, I began to notice that food really actually nourishes you and really actually supports you and makes you, you know, thrive. And you can thrive through food. You can thrive to very amazing form of like movement. You can, if you can actually allow yourself to have that for you, if you actually allow yourself to see that you're worthy of having this nourishment, both physically, mentally, and soulfully, right? So the more that I went through this process, the more I actually began to see that there was more light than the darkness. And I began to really shed of who I was. And, you know, the new me had come about. So that's when I went through personal training. So I went through different certifications. And then apart from that, I also did nutrition certification. So I'm certified in nutrition as well. And I've done different certifications in all the aspects in nutrition and fitness, which has been an incredible time. And then I became pregnant. And then I became pregnant. So after having all of that, going through the teenage years, and now we're talking early 20s, I became pregnant when I was 25, going on 26. And that's when it really started like focusing on my body again, right? That's when I started really focusing again and really being super hyper vigilant on my body again. And that's when I noticed that as women, we go through so many stages and so many phases through with our body, and it's on us to love ourselves through every single stage and every single phase. And even though there may be stages and phases where there's, it's going to be more difficult, it's our time to adore ourselves here, right? And this time and this moment was a very defining moment for me. It was a really big rebirth, because it no longer was about, you know, healing my emotional eating tendencies or my eating disorder tendencies, or healing my over exercising and over compensating in so many areas, but it was really focusing more on my healing with my body and myself, right? So it no longer was about what I did, but it was who I was. So it was like who I actually am. And in my body, my physical body, and looking at my body very differently. So I really, really, you know, began to really focus on myself and healing this part of me, which is my body, and really focusing on the temple that I hold and the temple that I am. And that's actually when it all became to be. And years later, my son is now three. So 3 years later, I really have embodied and really have deepened my love for myself, that it's so unwavering. And that's actually where Adorada came to be. And that's where Adorada really was birthed from. It's from you actually adoring you and you actually being devoted to you. And we hear about this so much on relationships, especially, right? Like a husband and a wife, or a partner and a partner, really adoring each other and really being devoted to one another or being committed to one another. But what about our commitment to ourselves, or our devotion to us, or our adoration to us? Like, where is that and where does that lie? So for me, it was very important after all these years that I went through in my life, or all these rebirths that I've gone through and awakenings that I've gone through in my life, it's really about now really going and knowing and owning and honoring all of who I am right now. And that's where Adorada came to be. So that's where it really, really was birthed from.
I have goosebumps. It is, wow, where's that coming from? I'm getting emotional. Like, where's this coming from? I think it's such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing, because so much of everything you're talking about, I completely resonate with from my own story. But it's so, so true. And it's so needed when people look at how much, you know, it's easy. It's so easy to love other people. It's so easy to love somebody else unwaveringly. You know, how many times and I see lots of women in particular, because, you know, we're practically programmed from birth to be, you know, whether you want to talk about culture or society or family beliefs, or, you know, what Disney teaches us or what religions yes. teach us. It's all about, you know, be the good girl, you know, grow up and get married, and, you know, everything is all happy and we love other people, and it's so easy to love other people, and whether it's guys that treat us badly or whatever. But so, I mean, I can tell you, I never, ever got that kind of message growing up to love myself and yeah. to be happy where I am right now. And
yes.
it took me decades to get yeah. there. Decades. I'm 52. So, and now you talk about changes, not just having children. I've had children. I've had 6 pregnancies. I had 2 that were successful, but I carried into my second term or my second trimester. So the body changes from that. And now, having started going through menopause, my body is changing. I'm like, what is going on? But being able to sit back, you're so right. Being able to sit back and be like, all right, this is where I'm at now, and being able to love yourself, and not even just love yourself, but I love the term that you picked, the adoring yourself, because it is exactly where it's at. Because we are ultimately we are all part of each other. So if you're loving somebody else, you have to start with you.
Yes.
You have to. And it's like any relationship. And this is why I tell people all the time, it truly starts with self-love. Because how can you love? And this is something not to like segue, but that was one of the things that made me realize that I had work to do in that area. Because when I had first met my husband, we were dating and I was still very much wrapped up in my own eating issues, my own body issues. And I remember he looked at me one day and he's like, how can I love you? You don't even love yourself.
Oh, wow.
And he was like getting smacked in the face.
Oh, I just
got like a wake up call. Like, seriously though, but it's so true. Cause I mean, think about it. How can you really love somebody else who doesn't love themselves? Because we are all mirror reflections to each other. And if I am loving me, I am loving you, you know, cause it's like you have to be part of that equation. You know, you can't just give and serve and be other people and love everyone else and then, you know, serve that from an empty cup when you are harboring all these horrible thoughts about you and being hung up in the physicality of what your body looks like, you know? Or no, don't even get me programmed of going on the programming from like the media and the TV and the, you know, you have to be this perfect.
That's the whole thing.
Perpetually look like they're 20 and, you know, have perfect boobs and the perfect butt and all this stuff. I mean, it's like ridiculous. So I love what you're doing. I love
it. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I want to talk about that, what you just said. Like I love that. I love that you said that in the sense of that I love me, I love you, right? In that sense of like, I got to love me to love you. Like that's the way that it actually is and leads into having a beautiful, deep, you know, intimate relationship with oneself and with someone else, right? When you have that intimate, deep, intimate, really like loving relationship with you, you get to have that with someone else. Again, like you said, it's a mirror about that. And it's a mirror on seeing your love for you through others, right? Because when we have that and we hold that for ourselves, it actually also sets the standards on how others are going to love us and how others will love us and what we stand for and what we don't stand for anymore, right? But if we don't love ourselves, we kind of just let others just kind of dictate on how it is. Like, oh, okay, this is how it is. Okay, cool. Like, you're right. Like having that moment in time, like when I was younger, it was a lot of relationships that way and friendships that way. When it was like, oh, okay, this is how the friendship is. That's one-sided. It's fine. You know, like not a big deal. Because again, but it was a big deal, but it wasn't a big deal at the same time because I let it happen because I couldn't love me at that time. But now that I love myself, now that I have found adoration, devotion, and unwavering commitment to me, I set standards and I set them from the beginning. And I set really clear boundaries on how things are going to be, even energetically. This is not even you speaking about it, but even just speaking it to yourself, right? Like energetically, you hold the standards, you hold the boundaries to what you want and to what you desire. You get to have it and you get to really hold it for you and you get to know your truth. And this is something that, you know, as we have grown up in such a media-filled world, which I love so much because like social media, for example, has guided us together, right? And has actually allowed us to be together, speak right now. But also there's been a lot of negative things that also has brought, which has been, again, that hyper-focus on others' bodies, hyper-focus on others' lives, all of that. What also can happen during that time is you start to really fixate on like, wait a minute, I don't look like that. Like I should look like that, et cetera, et cetera. And I actually was talking about this recently because I was told that I really embrace my culture. Like I embrace being Latina, I embrace being Colombian, but this was not my reality for so many years, right? Like it was also me like wanting to be someone else that I was not, right? And not being my true self and not being my big Latina energy that I am, my big Colombian, Colombiana energy that I am. And it was something that it, you know, for many years, it was something that I could not love so much about me, but it's who I am and what makes me, right? So the more that I did this for me, and again, this goes back to my body. I have my Latina body, I have my Colombian body, but it's my body. It's not going to look like how other Latina bodies look like, right? And that's when I grew up that I wanted to be that perfect, you know, Miss Universe size of what it was and model size. And it was very different than how American women looked, right? It was more of like you have a Coke shaped bottle, like body type of type of body as I grew up, and that's what I saw. But then I began to see, again, the older that I got, I had my son, and I began to see, like, I get to actually love me right now, and I get to actually be in my now body, and I get to also see what else is out there for me. Like, right, when I'm more committed to me, I get to actually sharpen more of my skills with my nutrition. How would that look like? And if I actually focused on that a little bit more, instead of saying, like, how can I take away from my nutrition? How can I give myself more nutrition? How can I give myself more of this, right? When we talk about this, even in the relationships, right now we're talking about relationship with our food, but think about even our relationship with our body. How can I give myself more commitment to me with my body? How would that look like if I did that with me and myself and my body? What would it be in 2 months? What would it be in 3 months? What would it be in 6 months, in a year, right? Where would I be if I gave myself more devotion and adoration and commitment? What would it be if I gave myself more commitment with my workouts? Where would my body look like, or where would it be if I did that, right? And for so many years, I thought you couldn't have that. You couldn't have this and that. It has to be one or the other. But I started noticing as I got older and older that I get to have it all. I get to be like, yes, this is mine. And I get to have the and, right? So I get to be in my now body, and I also get to work towards another different phase of my life or stage of my life where my body is different. And I wonder what it will look like, right? Like, I wonder what would it be? And of course, that's when I start to focus on, like, okay, what are my goals in my workouts? Okay, what are my goals with my nutrition? Okay, what are my goals with this, that, and this, right? And that's where it becomes very intentional, instead of actually coming from a place of restriction and a place of needing the change. This is more of the desiring change, and no longer just wishing it, but really going after it. Because what would happen if I did this? And this is actually me finding more love for me.
That is so perfectly said. I literally, I'm like, everybody that's listening needs to go follow this girl. Okay. Because listen, if you ever struggled with your body image, please go follow her.
Thank you.
And listen, it's so, so perfect. Because especially right now, as we just go through the new year, right? Mm-hmm. What's everybody doing?
Everybody's looking at resolutions.
I got to lose weight. I got to get to the gym, which is fine if that's where you're at and that's what you want to do. However, the problem is most people approach it the way I used to do it. You go beat the crap out of your body mm-hmm. to try to fit a mold, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I used to do. The restriction that I can't do this. I have to punish myself because I ate this. I had too many calories. I have to go punish myself in the gym. It becomes a restriction, a punishment, almost like a self-abuse.
Yes. Right? Yes. It's a very abusive relationship.
And now the beautiful thing about where I'm at in my journey now, and I know I mentioned that I started going through menopause. So, and I, I also had to have two hips replaced. I used to be a runner.
Oh my gosh.
I used to struggle with bulimia. So I overexercised to the nth degree. Like I was working out 6 hours a day, and I just destroyed my body. So when I turned 45, I had to have a hip replaced. And 2 years later, I had to have my other one replaced. And after I had both hips replaced, I couldn't run anymore. And I used to run marathons. I used to do triathlon. And then I started going through menopause, and my body started changing. I started gaining weight in places I never used to gain weight before. And because I wasn't as active, like with all the cardio, I mean, I used to run like 4 hours a day, and having not doing that anymore, my body started shifting. And I'm sitting here like, had I been back in that mindset, I would be losing my mind right now. Because I'm like, I can't do this. I can't fix this. Now, because also with my relationship with spirit and with my own self and being in a by far different place spiritually than I was back then. But still, I can sit there and be like, all right, what does my body need? What does my body really want? And listening to my body, our bodies are intelligent, right? Everything that you see around us is divine presence, right? So your spirit, everything is spirit. Your body is intelligent. So if you listen to your body rather than beating it up, you'll know it. Doing what feels good is by far more effective than going and sitting in the gym for 2 hours. So I wake up in the morning now and I'm like, what do I want to do? Do I want to ride my Peloton? Do I want to do some yoga? What does my body want to eat today? And what feels nourishing to me? What nourishes me? You know, what lifts me up and makes me feel good, as opposed to being in the gym? Nothing's wrong with being in the gym. I love to lift weights, you know, so I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's the intentionality,
yes, and
the thought process that goes behind it. Because when you're in the gym and you're like, oh my God, I'm so fat. I'm so fat. I'm so fat. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. Look at me. I'm comparing myself. No, but when you be like, you know what? I love the fuck out of myself.
Yes.
And I do this because it feels good.
Exactly.
Feel good. And where do I want my body to be? Maybe I'm not happy with it right now, but I can still love it right now. I may want something different,
mm-hmm,
but it doesn't mean that just because I want something different, that this isn't okay. Where, mm-hmm, I'm now is perfectly fine. If, mm-hmm, I want to lose some weight, because yes, I would like to, because I'd like to fit my clothes again. But I mean, you know, it's just the process of, okay, so let me get on board with my body and love my body enough to be like, all right, what feels good right now, and live it and do it intentionally with being tapped into the intuitive side of things. Because then you'd be like, all right, what do I need to eat today? What needs to nourish my body? And then do and move. Your body was made to move. So move in a way that makes you feel good and isn't like beating yourself up.
Exactly. And that's like a huge thing that was a big change for me as well. And that's also what I bring into the Adorada world, really focusing on our energetic side of things and our energetic being and our, you know, very soul driven selves that we are. We're very soul driven, but we get taken out of that after we're born, and all the deep conditioning that we receive through media, through our, you know, closest people around us. And they're doing the best that they can with what they know, right? But they also take us a lot away from who we are, right? So for me, for example, I really wasn't tapped into my intuition at all. I really wasn't tapped into, you know, my truth. And it actually began really deeply into like when I began really learning about human design and when I really began really knowing more and more me at a soul level. And that's how I really began to know me and really focus on like, okay, this is what really works for me when I actually, as like a manifesting generator, really works for me to go do and lift weights. Like it really works for me. It really works really well. But it also, as a manifesting generator, I have my times where I need that slow, really kind of peaceful time. And that's where my yoga comes in. And for many, many years, it was something that I was fighting, because, you know, like if I don't go and burn all these calories, and if I don't go and have all these things that I ate go away, you know, it's like, ooh, like it goes away like that. Like, then it's, I'm wrong. I'm bad. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. And I don't deserve anybody type of thing. Right. And that's not true. Right. And now that I know that, now that I can focus on that, I really focus on the intentionality behind everything I do. And I'm not going to say that there are moments that I am like 1,000% like in the, that I do the, I guess you call it the best thing for me. There are times, of course, that at 10 o'clock at night, I'm like, I would love some ice cream right now. But I no longer say, oh, you fuck suck. You know, like I don't swear to myself anymore. I don't say like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, or that doubt, or like, oh, I got to go do intermittent fasting cardio right now because look what I did. Like you're a slob. Like all these like things that I would say to myself previously that they were really, really mean. I can't even say them out loud because they were really mean. In that area, I no longer do that. I am like, okay, I'm going to have some ice cream. I like that. But why? And then I ask myself, why would I want that right now? And it's like, oh, it really tastes really good right now. Or it's because, oh, you had a very emotional time. Right now I have a 3-year-old son. So it's a lot of emotional turmoil many, 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 many times over during the day. Right. So sometimes, you know, we do cope with all of this, but also knowing that it's okay. Like you are human, right? Like you're honoring your human as well. So it's like also honoring your human. And that's what like the Adorada woman does. Like she honors herself, she owns herself, but most importantly, she really honors where she is, and she honors her emotions, she honors her feelings. And she also understands that she is not anybody's definition of perfect, right? She is her own definition of what it is, but she hasn't found it yet because it just, it's always becoming, right? Like that definition just never occurs, or that mold just never, because she's always becoming, there's always something different. And the more that we know ourselves, the more we actually get to see like, wow, okay, I want to play into that. Or wow, okay, I want to go into that. So what we think we actually want sometimes is not really even what we want at all, right? Like it doesn't actually happen that way. And it all unfolds as we actually allow ourselves to really kind of, you know, sit back and really surrender into us and into our being and into who we are. But again, this cannot happen until we open up ourselves to love. To us, and until we open up ourselves to more love to our body and open up ourselves to more love to our journey in life.
1,000,000%. And that's it's so true, because I think we're all so quick to latch on to that default setting of, oh, this is shameful. I'm bad. You know, yes, we're here to be human, we're not perfect. And it's okay. It's okay. You know, you don't have to be like, everybody looks at people on TV and the movies and things like that. Like the big one, everybody is like, oh, Kim Kardashian. I promise you, her life is not perfect. I promise you, she struggles with internal thoughts. Everyone does. Nobody is perfect. Nobody has the life of that's like, oh, everything's amazing and perfect all the time. Because we're always evolving. That's the beautiful thing. You know, where I'm at now, and like we were just talking about this before we started recording, my life, even from 2 years ago, is vastly different. How I view myself is vastly different. So, but that's the beautiful thing. You get to decide which direction you want to go. What resonates with you? What do I want? What do I prefer? What do I like? You know, do I want to do this or do I not want to do it? And when you honor yourself in that way and allow yourself to be able to have those choices and be okay with it without saying, oh, well, if I choose to just, for example, be 20 pounds heavier because I'm comfortable in my body and I don't have to struggle to keep that weight, you know, because I weighed a certain number that was like my fixated number, but I had to struggle to keep myself there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, it's not your natural body weight either.
Right. It wasn't my natural body weight.
Yes. And
it was a constant battle. So if you're more comfortable and your body is like conditioned to be a certain weight, maybe it doesn't make you look like, you know, Barbie and Ken down the street or whoever, J-Lo with the big butt. Right, Miss Latina, but it's okay. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that because you don't fit this mold. And I think we just have it so stuck in our heads that if we're not that, we're wrong. If we're not that, we're not enough. If we're not that, we're shameful. And if we don't like mold ourselves into these things with like discipline and willpower, then there's something about us that is bad, that we're not worthy, that we should be ashamed of ourselves and all this stuff. And that carries over into everything.
It does. Yes.
So right. How we treat ourselves, we teach people how to treat us. So when we're treating ourselves that way, we accept that kind of treatment from other people.
Exactly. Exactly.
It cycles into all of your relationships, not just friends and family, but your intimate partnerships.
Exactly.
That's a huge problem. And then people come to me and they're like, why can't I have a boyfriend who isn't constantly emotionally unavailable? Or why can't I find a partner who isn't constantly treating me like shit? I'm like, well, how are you treating yourself?
Exactly. And like, what are you saying to yourself? Because it's not only about what you do outside of you, right? Like, and focusing, because you're like, no, I eat healthy and I work out and I do all this. And I'm like, yes, but if you close the doors and if you were maybe a, you know, a fly on the wall, what would actually you see there? Would you see somebody that actually fully like is surrendered and fully open to herself and her emotion and her feelings or her humanness? And also like, really truly focused on the adoration she holds for herself unwaveringly? Or are you someone that just outside of you, you know, you would show this facade of who you are and who you want others to think, you know? Because at my healthiest, quote unquote, I was seeing, you know, focus on my food, focus on my meal prep, focus on my nutrition, focus on my fitness, focus on my self-development. But in reality, it was just a big wall that I had up in order for others to not see the true me and for others not to see the vulnerable side of me, right? Like my true self, my true being and my soul. And that's where, you know, I developed so much because I everyone was so hyper-focused on my body, right? And that's where I really developed all of my low confidence in with my food, my low confidence in my workouts. I all the workouts that I did or all the nutrition that I ate and all the food that I had, they were all never enough, right? Like never focused on that area. So for me, it was a very sad part of my life, but at the same time, again, I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't go through that. But with that being said, now it's more on the focus on, if I close the doors and nobody sees me, am I happy with me? Am I happy with who I am? If my life ends today, right? Like for me, it's a big, big part of it because the older that I get, the more, of course, we see that anything can just happen in 1 second, in one moment, in one millisecond. Anything can happen. So if I close my eyes or if my life ends today, will I be happy with who I am today? Or will the world know that I loved myself? Will the world know that I actually did something really powerful that was actually heal me, right? And sometimes it's always like, oh, this person was amazing to others, but what was she amazing to herself? And that's something that's really powerful for me because I know that I am here to also just not only heal me, but heal generations to come and heal a lot of my generational patterns that happened for so far. Like I know I'm that person that is going to break them and that is currently doing so. And it started with me. It starts with me and my body and with who I am. So I know if my life, whatever happens, you know, can happen. And if it does happen, I know that I really have impacted and really brought a big change to the world. And I began something really powerful.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's what's so awesome about doing this work and your work and my work. And that when you do, and even if you don't have this as a business, but I mean, any work you do with yourself, and like we have businesses, we both do. So
yes,
to be able to affect other people. But I mean, whereas what we do with ourselves, we heal generational trauma. We heal our family line.
Yes.
You know? And that's what people don't understand is that we have 7 generations of trauma and stories and history, body trauma that's stored in the energy, stored in the body, that is actually in our cellular DNA. So when you heal yourself, you are healing back the line of your family.
Yes, I'm healing
back. And then you're healing future generations because you're keeping them from having to go through.
Yes.
So we go through these experiences. We have these shit experiences in our childhood that we're like, why did I go through this? This was awful and miserable. And I had this so hard to sit back 20 years later and go, oh,
that's why. Yeah.
I did that. So I can heal myself. So now I can heal others and help them not have to go through all this shit that I went through.
Exactly. So, you know, yep. And that's very impactful, right? And I also like want to see, especially after I became a mom, it became like something really, really important for me too, because you know, like I live with my partner and I live with my son, and you know, my mom got to sadly see the side of me, you know, that was very fixated on myself and fixated on my weight, and she didn't know how to handle it or how to help me or how to support me. But instead of them needing to, you know, figure out how to fix it or figure out how to like help me and support, what they're seeing is actually how I'm loving me. And then I know that that actually is supporting them to actually love themselves, right? And really be focused on them and their self-love and this journey, because I feel like this is something so spoken about, and it's so openly spoken now about with women, but with other genders, it's really something that is still very new or something that is not spoken of as much. And I would like that to be something that is also out there for all genders, for all of us to feel that we are worthy in our body, that we are, and then we know we're enough. Not only that, but that we get to unwaveringly devote ourselves to us and adore ourselves. And it all starts and all begins with me, with who I am. And they get to see it and they get to witness it. And then I know that that all is causing the ripple effects in the world. And as I go through that and I go through these stages and everything that I speak about, I feel like even in social media, every message that I put out, every note, every post, every word that I say, it's a ripple effect in the world, and it's really making an impact for others to also be more awakening their journey in their love and in who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it's universal. It's universal. Yes. It's not just women. Women yes. in general probably are more aware of it.
Yes.
There's a lot
yes.
of messages there, but it's universal. I mean, look at all the people now who are really stepping into who am I in my body?
Yes.
Do I feel more masculine? Do I feel more feminine? I mean, that, even that in of itself, you know, for people who are, you know, whether they are choosing, you know, if they're to change their gender or if they're transgendered or if they know for sure they're bisexual or whatever, that is an experience in the body that
exactly.
they're going to have to come across, you know, what am I going to own for myself? You know, mm-hmm. am I going to love myself? Am I going to feel shame? Am I going to feel, you know, because that's a whole other ball of wax.
Right? Exactly.
But it all runs in the same vein. Right?
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. That self-love exactly. and adoring yourself and respecting yourself to speak your truth, to embody your truth and to be good with it. Right?
Yes.
You don't let anybody else make you feel shame because
exactly.
I'm conditioned to feel shame. Right.
Yeah. And I feel that too. And this is actually where you actually begin to reclaim who you have always been, right? This
right.
worthy person in the world that you get to actually step into and really know and say and honor, like, I get to take up space here and I get to be seen as me. And the more that we see that, I feel like the more we're going to have a blissful, beautiful life, right? Like, we get to actually witness so many more people having a much better, peaceful, a much, not just better, and that's not the correct word I wanted to say, because it's not better, but it's like, it's more of a peaceful, more blissful life, right? Like that, more of that connection that we're missing,
right?
Yes. Yes, thank you. More of that connection that we're missing. I feel like, you know, we're so disconnected from ourselves right now that we that's where, you know, depression comes in, and that's where anxiety, like a lot of other different situations and different health problems occur. And they don't mean that you are not enough or not worthy, not at all. But when you get to actually see yourself or who you are in all of your uniqueness and all of who you are, you get to actually be like, okay, I get to adore myself now. And I get to make this choice, because this is a very conscious choice of like, I get to do this. And if I'm doing this, I know this is not the easy road. I know that there could be other roads out there that, you know, that I'm going to focus on, that I could, you know, restrict and take away and punish, and I could continue doing that all my life and go against it. But what if I actually lean into loving me and lean into knowing me more and lean into actually healing and lean into really surrendering? Like, how would that look like? And leaning into trusting myself in this journey, in this life, like in this path, imagine what could happen and imagine what's possible for me if I did that.
Preach it, girl. Well, on that note, I think it's a perfect note to end on. Is there any place you want to tell people to direct them to go find you specifically? Like, where do you hang out most?
Yes, of
mostly
course.
Instagram
of course.
Girl, mostly Facebook girl.
Yes, I'm everything. I love it all. So I love Instagram. It's my favorite place to be in stories. I love stories. So you can find me on Melissa Mejia Official, or you can also find me on TikTok. I'm also dabbling into that beautiful space there. Facebook, Melissa Mejia as well. You'll have all the links. And also I have a podcast called And She Is, which is a beautiful podcast. And there's volume 4 coming out very soon, which I'm so excited for. 2023. So you'll get to dabble into a lot of that and all of the work that I've done in the last couple of years. So you can get to, you get to hear it all in like time, you know, like 2020, 2019, all of those times.
That's awesome. I love it.
When I started that podcast. And then last but not least, andsheisofficial.com, I feel like it is. I'm like spacing out right now, but andsheisofficial.com. That's where you'll find everything, programs, anything that I have out there right now. You can find it there.
Amazing. And I'll put all those links below for anybody who's interested. Please check her out. She's awesome. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. I'm so honored. And I hope people found this extremely valuable, because listen, I'm all about it. Even people who just come to my world for relationships, it's all about, it all starts with you. It all begins with you.
You have to
become the person you desire to have. You want that Prince Charming. You've got to become those qualities in yourself. And it starts with loving yourself, honoring your truth, honoring your body, honoring who you are. It all starts with you. So perfect. I could not have said it better than myself. So, thank you so much. I much, much so appreciate much it. And I will talk to you soon. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in and have an amazing day.
Thank you so very much for listening to today's episode. If you found this conversation to be helpful at all, please make sure you leave a review, put it in Spotify or iTunes. That way I know that what I'm sharing is helping you and I can continue to keep the good things that you're interested in coming your way. If you aren't already following me on social media, I would love for you to come follow me on Instagram. It's @IAM_TanyaAlberti. I share all kinds of things there daily, from everything from developing your intuition to connecting with your guidance to manifesting tips, how to call in relationships, all of the good things. So give me a follow there. Otherwise, you can also find me at www.TanyaAlberti.com at my website. And I just want to say thank you so much. Much love to you. I can't wait to see you again in the next episode. And meanwhile, just remember that if you have a desire in your heart, it is meant for you. And your true love, your soulmate, is out there waiting. Have an amazing, amazing day. Much love.